The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
What up, Raj?
Hey, 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 hey. This week on Dueling Review, we review Doctor Who, the Third Doctor number one. Paul Cornell returns to the Doctor Who comics with the Heralds of Destruction. When something enormous crashes into Bedfordshire, the Doctor, Joe Grant, and the forces of UNIT, under Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, mobilize immediately to find themselves in the middle of a pitched battle against a terrifying invader. The shocking face that awaits their return to base may tip the whole world off its axis. So, Third Doctor, what'd you think, man?
I liked it.
What did you like most about it? Was it the fact that we finally get to see our favorite Doctor of all time show up in comic book form?
Your favorite Doctor of all time?
Yes, yes, that's what I said. Everyone's favorite Doctor of all time.
Partly that. Partly the art is so lovely throughout this issue. And many times when you have one of these throwbacks, even if it's just, you know, a throwback to 11, it doesn't feel like it's truly set in their era. It doesn't feel like that Doctor's story. It feels like something where they're doing a modern story that just happens to stick that Doctor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's the fact that this particular Doctor is, you know, 40 years ago now, but Cornell does a really good job of making this feel like a UNIT story. And, you know, I was going to say a 70s right. story, but UNIT dating is weird. This could actually be the 80s.
Yeah, it could be. What's the storyline here? When did the insane Time Lord Omega, when did he defeat the Time Lord Omega?
He defeated Omega in The Three Doctors, which I think was 1976.
So this is sometime between 76 and Tom Baker.
Right. Well, and until The Three Doctors, his TARDIS was not working.
Right. The Time Lords had
Pertwee
taken it away.
Pertwee was the Doctor for 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what makes this feel like a late 70s story, though.
Well, I think part of it is the fact that there was a very specific tone to the Third Doctor adventures that you don't get anywhere in Doctor Who, anywhere else. Really.
Well, yeah, because they're all based however far Earth-based. The Doctor could drive his car, right?
Right. Basically, Third Doctor stories in a lot of ways are kind of a Lost Avengers episodes or James Bond stories.
Well, it was a budget thing.
Right, with some sci-fi overtones.
Right.
And this one, and of course, there is one thing that I'll get to in a moment that puts this one over the top, but this one feels really interesting. We first see the Doctor in a gentleman's club playing chess with someone who turns out to be someone we know.
The Master.
With a lifelike rubber mask.
The cool Master, too.
Yes.
The best
the
Master.
Delgado Master.
Yeah. He's my favorite one.
Yeah, that actor passed away not long after the time frame when this would have been. But
really? Because I thought he was also in with Tom Baker, at least in some point.
The Master was. This actor was.
Oh,
wasn't,
okay. No, I meant this I actor think. As this portrayal.
You may be right, actually. But Delgado, yeah, he didn't make it into the 80s.
Okay.
But yes, this feels really, really great. It opens, of course, with Brigadier Stewart. Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart. Being all Lethbridge Stewarty all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, you get a little moment with Joe Grant on a date, and you get Mike Yates, who I never cared for. I don't know, you know, you love Mike Yates or you don't.
Yeah.
But it really feels like an atypical episode for modern Doctor Who, which puts it right in the wheelhouse here of the Third Doctor. And of course, Bessie is drawn beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
Bessie looks amazing. Everything looks wonderful. And it's got a very, I don't know, maybe it's the fact that it's got that, here's this war, and the doctor is clearly anti-establishment and anti-war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has that sort of post-Vietnam feel of you soldiers and ways, and you're blowing up things. And I don't know, but I really feel like this feels more like his era than a lot of the flashback stuff we see from, you know, the fourth doctor, the eighth doctor. We've seen 9, 10, and 11, but this one really, really feels like classic Who in all the right ways. And of course, the guest appearance on the final page, the doctor's greatest nemesis,
his own self.
And I love the fact that that's in there because every
time. It's
weird,
right? Because you don't expect this to be a
two-doctor story,
a two-doctor story. Yeah, that's the thing that really surprised me, which makes me wonder if that's really Doctor number two. If that's really, what's his, Troughton?
Troughton, yeah.
Troughton, yeah. It makes me wonder if that's really him or if it's the Master in disguise again.
Interesting. I think that if it is the real two, it's great because, weirdly, even though they only met three times, well, technically twice, the third and second doctors had this, the actors had this running feud. And every time they got a chance to play off each other, they did this thing where they were just, they were like Stan and Ollie, or they were like you and I are on a lot of the shows where they would constantly.
The really smart one and you're the one that's constantly bungling things up.
You would be the third doctor. I would be the second doctor.
Well, of course, because I look magnificent in a purple velvet cape.
Yes, and I have checked pants that don't quite fit. But they have that thing, because remember, the first time we hear the line, you've redecorated, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Is in the three doctors when two meets three.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, have you been playing this?
Yeah.
You shouldn't mess with my recorder. And the actors would go to conventions and do public appearances, and they would keep up the illusion of a feud between them, a sort of kind of in-character feud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if Cornell is using the real second doctor, it's another perfect little bit of third doctor trivia, like the appearance of Osgood's father.
Yes.
Lieutenant Osgood.
Lieutenant Osgood.
Like the fact that we see some of the minor luminaries of UNIT. We see Mike Yates. Mm-hmm. We see Sergeant Benton.
And that's the only thing that may feel a little, in hindsight, feel very forced. Now, you know, if this were something that was an actual episode in, you know, 72 or 76 or whenever.
74, yeah.
You know, then it would probably seem very natural that, oh, these people are just popping up.
Right.
But in this case, it feels, it just feels forced for some reason.
In the setting of a first issue, and, you know, I grew up in the shooter era of Marvel when people would walk in and go, hello, Marvel man. How are you, Daredevil? That is fine. I hear Spider-Man is coming to visit us. Yes, there he is now with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone is identified immediately upon their appearance. And it doesn't feel to me, at least, forced. It feels like Cornell is using those, you know, 80s era tropes to show us this is UNIT in 1974, 74, 84, whatever year it is. And this is the doctor in that era being the international man of mystery, master of Venusian chop sake, and really rocking a frilly shirt.
Oh, yeah. Love it. I love every bit of that.
Yeah. And the point where he gets into Bessie and the policeman is like, in that jalopy, I don't think you can do it. And he takes off at like 9 minutes an hour.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Quick correction. Roger Delgado did die. He was the only, he was the master only for the third doctor run.
Right.
So he didn't jump into fourth doctor era.
He did not make it. And then he was replaced first by a gentleman whose name escapes me. And then by Anthony Ainley, whom I loved. As the master against the fifth doctor and sixth and seventh.
What I really appreciate in this, and I know that Paul Cornell has some love and hate for Pertwee's doctor.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he's just not crapping all over this doctor. I'm glad he's, you know,
well,
taking the good and the bad and mixing it together and telling a story that's at this point in the first chapter fun.
Yeah. And if you, you know, if you don't necessarily love something, sometimes it can be, not necessarily easier, but it can be satisfying to write about it because if Cornell doesn't care for those unit era Third Doctor tales, this could be Paul Cornell fixing his version of what the Third Doctor could have been like, which I think
could have been.
Is a legitimate thing. And this issue really feels appropriate. It feels awesome. It feels respectful. Because keep in mind, virtually everyone that we see on panel is using photo reference of someone who's dead.
Sure.
Yeah, there's live people and
That is sometimes the weird thing with the photo references is, you know, one angle you'll hit them dead on for the way that they looked in, you know, in the photo that they had. We talked about it this week on the Major Spoilers podcast when we were talking about Star Trek and how those early gold key ones, you know, few panels look spot on to the actors and actresses because they had those headshots.
Right.
And then you cut to a different angle and it's like, well, not quite, but I can see where you're going with that. And there are a few of those that pop up in here, but for the most part, they are very, very good at hitting these.
Yeah. There is one notable sequence where, a creature starts to grab for the Third Doctor's throat and he suddenly looks like the version of himself from TV action.
Yeah.
Which is, those are not canonical.
Well, it becomes a little bit more cartoony as his eyes go all wild. But, you know,
yeah, it's beautifully drawn either way.
Yeah, I wonder, this is something I was thinking about specifically for this, although I have pondered it in previous things. Some artists have done this, some colorists have done this, where they will say, okay, this is a tale that's set in the 80s.
Right.
I want to use a color palette and style that you would have found in 80s X-Men or, you know, 80s Superman kind of stuff. I wonder if this issue would be improved even more if they tried to mimic the color palette and style, not the drawings, but just the color of the stuff from the 1970s, if that would have, you know, maybe a little offset here and there, maybe, you know, just some
2-inch video reels,
some simpler colors. I mean, you wouldn't have had the gradients that you see all over the place. But I wonder if that would change anything in the approach to this. It's always something that's fascinated me. Coloring has always fascinated me, especially, you know, with the question that pops up all the time with the recoloring of Killing Joke and some of the recoloring that has been done in other Gibbons works. And I just wonder if this would be something that would be a nice, hey, if this is a story that's set in this time period, let's color it to look like this time period. That I think would have been a nice little touch.
I can definitely see it. The one thing that I would say as an argument against it is that Doctor Who wasn't really a comic property in the 70s.
But talking about nailing the look of the time period, we know what the Third Doctor adventures look like. And so to take it to that little step further, because we're watching it on, you know, SD degraded film.
Yeah, we're watching
it on
something.
Film stock.
Something that was taken from 2-inch reels to 3/4-inch U-matic and eventually remastered digitally.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I like the coloring. I think it's fine. I think everything in this issue is great.
I kind of love the coloring, especially the scene where he's standing on Bessie's front deck and looking around.
Yeah, as he's driving.
Just that whole background sequence. The sky is beautiful. The fading of the colors, like there's, you know, like there's a little bit of fog.
Yeah, there's clouds and stuff. Yeah, no, I like it. I'm just wondering if that would be something that people would appreciate if they did that. I mean, you kind of get that sometimes with Mike Allred when he's doing some of his Silver Surfer stuff, or you know, you see the coloring kind of take on that style, and we've seen it in other books too.
Yeah, retro style coloring would be interesting.
Yeah, especially for this because it's totally retro. I mean, it's not like the Doctor has gotten use of his time machine, so the first thing he's going to do is pop off to 2016 and have an adventure. Although
sure.
That would also be really cool, right?
That would be cool. I'd actually pay to see that. The Doctor in 2016 and have him realize that, you know, in 1973, he invented cellular technology.
Yeah, it would be funny, right? It would be like, oh, you know, I think I'll just go back and hang out on Earth for another 5 or 6 years in the 70s. You know, that would be interesting. I mean, there's all sorts of interesting tales that can be told. It just depends on whether you can get a creative, and I think Paul Cornell could probably do it very well, but it would be interesting because we've had this discussion before, and I think we talk about it this week on Zach on Film about how technology ruins certain storytelling. like Rockford's, like detective genres right. for me are completely ruined because of the access of cell phones and computers.
Right. It changes a lot of the basic expectations mm-hmm. that we have of a traditional story. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Third Doctor is perfect for his era. Mm-hmm. And you can't take the Third Doctor with his frilly shirt and his cape and yeah. his Bessie and his idea that he's stranded on Earth and right. put it in 2016 and have it work, because it would seem like he would go, this seems totally out of place, even though he's a Time Lord and can go anywhere and nothing would surprise him. But it would just seem like he would be like, I'm completely out of place in this newfangled era. Let me go back right. to simpler times.
With his 70s chop socky and his Venetian
kung fu just doesn't work in this modern day and age.
It's Venetian Aikido, thank you. But yeah, and you know, in a lot of ways, the Third Doctor is kind of a prototype for the modern companion as well, because he had a very ambiguous relationship with Jo Grant, to where he seemed very hurt
right.
when she went off to get married.
Right.
And was replaced by Sarah Jane Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can definitely see it. I don't know.
I'm having fun with this. I want to see where it goes. I want to see if the Master is really the ones pulling all of these strings, or if there are just some things like the Second Doctor just showing up just happens to be a coincidence, or if these robots are part of the Master's plan. I mean, it's really good. The art is really good. I like it, even if some panels look a little bit more cartoony than on model. I mean, it's still cool. And of course, I get to see my favorite Sonic screwdriver. So that's good.
Yes. The Third Doctor Sonic makes an appearance. And of course,
I've got one of those.
The TARDIS is there and in its mm-hmm. half disassembled state
mm-hmm.
from 1977. Also, apparently, the Three Doctors was 73.
Yeah.
So it came out while we were two.
Well, when did it come out in 73?
Fall of 73.
So I probably was three by then.
You were not three.
By the fall? Yes.
Let's see. Oh, no, wait. It started 30th December 1972 to January 1973. Yes, so we were two.
Yeah, so I would have been two then, yes.
So would I. I would have just turned two.
Yeah.
That's what the people want to know about, is how old we would have been in this story.
I don't know. Some people are more interested in, it's just, I don't know. I see all the social media, like these girls wearing the outfits that said, I'm a child of the 90s. And it's like, oh, wait, you were a child of the 90s, a literal baby in 1992 when you were born.
Right. I suppose. But yeah, I think that here's the thing. This is one of those rare issues that works as a first issue.
Yeah, it does.
It works as a standalone story. It works for Doctor Who nerds, because there's bits and pieces in here that you'll have to go looking for. And best of all, I think it would work just for as a comic.
Mm-hmm. No,
this is
works
a comic
all over.
Book that I think you could hand to anybody, and you don't have to even know Doctor Who to get into this story. I think that you'll probably appreciate it a little more if you have a little bit of love of the Third Doctor. But
oh yeah, of course you do. Who doesn't have love for the Third Doctor? Weird people, I tell you, that's who.
I know people right now whose first doctor is 12.
Oh, I know. I know.
Those people just, I don't understand. I just don't get that. How can you Doctor Who?
Here's the thing, and this is another thing I was thinking about today. When you and I were growing up, we have to face it, TV in the 70s and early 80s was just a vast wasteland, right? you had your three channels. And you had your UHF, you had your UHF channels, and your UHF channels were the ones that had gotten into this idea of, well, we need to fill programming. Let's rerun these old shows and people will watch them. So you and I growing up, I was thinking about this today. I was trying to, figure out, can I remember my first comic book? Probably not. I can remember the first comic book that I owned and loved. But, like my first introduction to superheroes was not in a comic book. It was watching reruns of the classic black and white George Reeves Superman.
Right.
My introduction to humor and comedy were, after school times or after I got home from the babysitter, you sit down and you watch The Little Rascals and The Three Stooges and Gilligan's Island. And that was your afternoon. And on Saturdays, then you got to get up and watch cartoons. And these cartoons were from 40 and 50 years, maybe not 40 years. 40 years before. And we were watching this stuff on cartoons. And so, as much as I love the kids of this generation, I think we are, our generation is a little bit more special and unique because we understand who the Third Doctor was because we got to see these in reruns. We understand when we watch The Simpsons or when we watch Futurama and they're making a Three Stooges or a Good Times or some kind of joke. We get that because that is something that we watched via the magic of reruns. And unfortunately, you know, there are definitely a lot of people who have never seen the magic of a Pertwee Doctor Who because they are available, but it's harder to find these.
Yeah.
Then they would. Yes, you could go.
You're
on
not going to bump into them on cable.
Yeah, you're not going to accidentally run into it on a rerun at 2 a.m. And I think
you're not
going
to have what we had, where you come home from school and suddenly there's Doctor Who on the PBS.
Right,
channel.
Right. So I can. I mean, and I'm not trying to disparage anybody because they haven't experienced the classics. I'm just saying it's a different it's a different generation because now you're inundated with so much new that. That if you do go back, you're only going back to your time period. You're not going back further. You're not going back to see, you know, Three Stooges or Tom and Jerry or that kind of stuff or the classic George Reeves Superman stuff.
We need to entitle this episode, Are Millennials Ruining Television?
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. No, millennials ruin everything.
I think it's just a different perspective and I appreciate it, but it also is like, part of me feels a little sad that people don't get to experience Pertwee reruns and they don't get to experience Three Stooges. I guess they do sometimes if you really look hard on cable, but it's really hard to find. Whereas, Godzilla movies were all over television when we were growing up.
Yeah. I was having a discussion with somebody today that reminded me of, you know, when we were talking about Dell Comics back issues, we were specifically talking about Twilight Zone.
Right.
And he was like, oh, it's not collected. I guess I'll never get to read it. And I'm like, to the back issue bins with you, son.
Yeah.
Go and be free.
God, go ahead with your thought. And then I want to pop in real quick.
The thing about it is it's a different mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another reason why this particular story works as kind of a period piece is that the mentality was, this show is on Saturday night at 7:05 p.m.
Right.
If you don't see it, you don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, there's an element of that I think really kind of filters into the way this story is told, this issue, which is nice, you know?
Yeah, and so hopefully maybe some people will pick this up and go, wow, there was a Third Doctor and it wasn't Matt Smith? You know?
And he has big white hair and
who is this old geezer?
Purple cape?
Actually, wasn't Pertwee younger than the current Doctor?
Every Doctor up till Peter Davison was younger. Wait, yeah, each Doctor was younger.
No, but I mean, as far as the actor's age, is he younger than
Pertwee was younger than Troughton, I believe.
No, but I mean, is he younger than the current Doctor?
Oh no.
Okay.
Not at this point in his time. Well, Peter Capaldi would be 57. Let me do some math here. John Pertwee was born in 1919. So in 1970, we'll call this 74.
Yeah, let's say 74.
74, he would have been 55?
So about the same age.
Yeah, roughly the same age.
Yeah. The weird thing happened. I went to our Hastings because it's closing.
Right.
And like all their comic book boxes that they've had billions and billions stacked upon stacked are like 50% off. So I went to go pick up a bunch of comic book boxes at a super cheap discount. And there was a young woman going through the back issues of the comics. And part of me wanted to say, oh, did you find something cool? Because that's what, you know, cool comic book people would say to cool comic book people.
Right.
And I was like, nah, you know, she might think I'm hitting on her or whatever. And, you know, I'll just skip it. And so I'm going to check out and she gets in line behind me. And so my son's with me too. But as she's checking, we check out. And then as she starts to check out, she's like asking the girl at the register, do you know anything about comics? Because I didn't see what she had bought.
Right.
But part of me was just like, oh man, this is a perfect opportunity for me to just say, I could answer some questions for you. But I didn't. And it was like, why didn't I offer to help? And clearly this is someone who was maybe making her first inroads to comics.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't want to come off as the mansplainer or the creepy comic book guy or whatever, I just was like, no, I'm going to take a step back and not get involved because I don't want to be perceived this way. But at the same time, I
kind of wanted to help.
I kind of wanted to help, but not be, you know, everything that people look at, you know, white guys in a comic book shop and expect, you know. So I didn't know how to deal with it. I was like, oh, well, I'll just leave it alone. And I could have helped somebody, but I chose not to. I felt kind of bad about it.
Well, there's, you know, there's that moment where you could have been helpful or you could have been a story on Twitter. It's creepy old guy.
Right. That's what
you
exactly
don't know
what
anything
was
about comics, little girl.
No, it wouldn't have been like that. It literally was going to be when she said, at first I was going to say, oh, did you find something? Then I was like, no, that's creepy old guy talk.
Right.
But then when she was checking out and said, do you know anything about comic books? And here I am standing with four comic book boxes in my arms.
Right.
I really wanted to say, well, is there a question that you have about it that I might be able to answer for you because I know a little something about comics?
Let me tell you about my website.
And no, I would never have said any. I'd never, you know, honestly, if I'm in a situation and people say, what do I do? I never say comic book website. I just say that I run several websites and podcasts, and I never tell people what they are. And I know a lot of people are like, why aren't you promoting yourself? And it's just like, that's not who I am. Right. I will. And if they push me further on it, then I will say, oh, it's a website that talks about comic books and pop culture. But in this case, you know, it, literally, if she would have held up it looked like she had some much older comics from like the 80s. She may have held up the something Vampire or Werewolf by Night. Let's say, for example, if she would have held that up and said, you know anything more about this? I probably would have said, I know very little. Your best bet is to go look at a website like a site called Major Spoilers or something. But, you know, I wouldn't have said, well, yes, this is a character that ran from 1968 to 1975. This was during the comic code debacle. And so werewolves, I would never have gone into something
first
like that.
First of all,
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from you. I don't want to hear it from you. I'm just saying that if it wasn't something that was outside of my expertise, I would have said no, but I know where you can find help, as opposed to, you know, try to be the know-it-all guy. But I kind of felt like, here's somebody that I think has a legitimate question and may want to know more about comics or where she could find more comics or anything. And I felt like I let a potential comic book reader down, regardless of if she was a boy or a girl or whatever.
Right. And that can be difficult. I mean, you don't necessarily want to go up to a complete stranger and go, hey, you don't know anything about that.
Well, I would,
You want to also, you want to emphasize the good parts. You want to help new people along. Mm-hmm, you want to be able, you want to share what you love without making the knowledge that you have feel like a barrier to entry.
So right, exactly.
I can definitely see where you want to not necessarily cross a bridge or, you know, blow up a bridge that you weren't necessarily sure. Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of Doctor Who, going back to Doctor Who.
Who?
So we know that a lot of the Troughton episodes are gone, lost forever.
Yep.
And one of the ones that is lost forever is the very first Troughton episode, right? The Power of the Daleks.
Right.
And that's the episode where we make the transition, where the Doctor transforms for the first time.
Right.
Those episodes are lost. You and I both know this. Maybe some of our listeners don't. But those were lost to the ages because the BBC libraries and TV stations and whatever that had these were like, these are using up room. We don't need them. Either throw them out or send them to the bulk eraser, which was a giant magnet that you ran your videotapes over and erased the signal, because who's going to ever want to watch this Doctor Who episode again? And so we lost all of these episodes, but and we've talked about this on the Major Spoilers podcast before. There are some audio recordings of those episodes that are still in existence.
Every episode exists in audio form.
In audio form. And some still images exist from those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So what the BBC has done, and this is coming up on, believe, on November 12th of this year, the BBC has taken the Power of the Daleks and they've turned it into an animated episode using the audio from those original episodes.
That's amazing.
And yeah, we're going to get to see them. BBC America. It's November 12th, which I believe is Saturday night. So if people are looking to see what were these old Doctor episodes about, you can check them out in an animated form. Kind of looks a little bit like what's that spy show with that all the kids like on the Cartoon Networks or the Adult Swims?
The Spy Show.
Yeah, the spy guy. He's supposed to be like James Bond.
Archer?
Yes.
That's not on the Adult Swim.
What channels is that on? I don't watch
it. It's on FXX. It's like an adult. It's a grown-up show.
Oh, okay.
With the cursey words and the SEX.
Adult Swim is a grown-up shows.
And Family Guy.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's not for kids. But apparently a lot of people said it reminds them of Archer animation style. Mm-hmm. But hey, we're going to get to see this.
I really am happy. They've done this before, like some years ago, but I think before the new Doctor Who versions even launched, where they took, maybe it was The Invasion?
Well, I think on those, I don't think they animated them. Didn't they just use still images and like the video that they had, they used the video. And then when you got to the place of stuff they didn't, they either used still photographs or drawings.
They did two fully animated episodes, and they were done to fill out a story arc where, like, two of the six episodes were lost.
Yeah, this is what, the Marco Polo episode or something?
I don't even remember. They were both Second Doctor stories, because, weirdly, even though the First Doctor was earlier and you'd think he would be affected more, the most missing episodes are within the Second Doctor's run.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Second Doctor is missing something like 50 episodes.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but and it's really frustrating to me, because every couple of years they'll have another thing that comes up and says, well, maybe it exists. The guy in Zimbabwe.
Well, again, the fact that the BBC is just like, you know what, we're going to just animate this so people can experience it, mm-hmm. is a pretty good indicator that even the BBC has given up trying to find these episodes.
Well, I don't know about giving up, but I think that this is a great way, especially if you have the telesnaps that show us what the direction looked like.
Yeah, where they were standing, where the you know, what the clothing actually was and everything. Yes, I totally agree that that would be,
you could break that down.
That would be totally awesome.
And I want to say that there are only like three serials that don't exist at all from that whole
not story. Even in audio form?
That don't exist in terms of video. There's no footage of Marco Polo. There's no footage of Mission to the Unknown, and I think there's no footage of another one. But, yeah, there's basically 97 episodes that are just gone, visually speaking.
Yeah.
And the audio exists for all of them. But, again, these are recordings that somebody did, like, on a reel-to-reel tape recorder off the TV.
That's fine. It's still, you still have that audio. And with today's technology, you can go in and clean up all that noise, and you can restore it to something that sounds almost as good as the actual recording. So I'm really looking forward to this. And I think if you're a Doctor Who fan and you want to find out more about old Doctor episodes, then definitely be on the lookout for this. It's The Power of the Daleks coming out. Like I said, I believe it's November 12th. I don't have it here in front of me, but I believe that is the air date. You'll be able to see it on BBC and BBC America, and go check that out. So bottom line for this issue, I enjoyed it. I give it a thumbs up. I want to read more. Of course, it's Third Doctor, so it's my favorite. I'm kind of obliged or obligated to read every single issue that comes out in this series. So
you got to back your man. When the Fifth Doctor series inevitably comes out.
And it won't.
Multiple copies. They're going to get everybody's going to get a series.
Oh, of course. I think they will. But the question is,
in the
when,
future, every doctor will be famous.
When are we getting a number two doctor? We haven't gotten a one or a two doctor yet either.
Well, they're doing them in order, I think, of popularity. Popularity, because 9, 10, 11, and 12 have ongoings now.
Mm-hmm.
8 had a miniseries. 4 had a miniseries. This is a miniseries for 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, 7 down?
Yeah.
So there's 5 doctors left.
So we got Radagast?
Yeah, Radagast. Ugly Coat.
Ugly Coat, yeah.
The Fifth Doctor, who's...
Wait, is Ugly Coat Celery Stock or not?
Celery Stock is 5. Okay. Ugly Coat is 6.
Yeah, but I was trying to just make sure we were on the same page when we said Ugly Coat.
Right, and then 1.
1, yeah.
And 2.
History Professor. Flute Player.
Angry
Celery Stock.
Recorder Celery Player. Stock. Celery Stock. Ugly Coat. And Radagast,
yes.
Attorneys at Law.
Yeah, go pick this up, everybody. It's a fun book. It's from Titan. It's from Titan Comics, but you can easily find it, and it's certainly available digital if you can't get it at your local comic book store. But I'm pretty sure most comic book stores today are carrying Titan Comics, so
you can get it. And this is a rush right out into buying frenzy for me. This is a really good issue.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Aliens: Life and Death #1. That's a 4-issue series.
I've seen them.
Black Hammer number 3, Department H number 6, Hellboy and the BPRD 1954 number 1. That's a two-part series of The Black Sun.
Depth.
It might be. Weird Detective number 4 of 5 also arrives next week. Over on the DC front, we doesn't look like we have any Rebirth specific episodes, but we do have a lot of number 1. Cyborg number 1 arrives next week. Raven number 1, Trinity number 1 come out next week. And then we get Aquaman 7, Batman 7, Dr. Fate number 16, Green Arrow number 7, Green Lanterns number 7. Justice League number 5, Nightwing number 5. I haven't had a chance to read Detective 940 this week. That's the one where Tim Drake is mysteriously absent from the cover.
Ooh.
And if you look in the, and I don't know where in the issue that it appears, but DC had sent us some preview pages that we put up on the website that has Tim saying, yeah, you know what? I think I need to retire from Batman and go to college and get a degree. And I don't know if there's some, like I said, I haven't had a chance to read the issue, so I don't know if something else happens after that. I still don't know if they've killed him off. Damn it. And there's two Tim Drakes floating around, too. There's this Tim Drake.
One in the future.
And then there's the one in the future. And then there's, who knows what the convergence, there's probably still another Tim Drake running around.
The one in the future is the one from the future.
Oh, right.
But not as far in the future.
Yeah. I give up. IDW Publishing next week. Action Man number 4, Atomic Robo and the Temple of Odd, or Ood number 2. Ood. We'll say Ood since we're talking Doctor Who this week. Jack Boot and Iron Heel number 2.
Gesundheit.
Mickey Mouse Shorts season 1 number 3. Oh, Mickey Mouse Shorts season 1 number 3. There you go.
Mickey Mouse Shorts season.
Shorts season. Yeah, it's like Mickey Mouse Shorts. Isn't every season short season for Mickey Mouse?
And for Bruce Otter, yeah.
Yeah. Revolution number 1, ROM number 3, Star Trek New Visions Special Swarm One-Shot. Don't ask.
What?
X-Files number 6. Over at Image Comics, they have I Hate Fairyland number 9, Rumble number 14, 7 to Eternity number 1, Snot Girl number 4. No, Snot Girl number 2 gets a second printing, She-Wolf number 4. There are 14 issues coming out from Image Comics next week, Matthew. Do you want to take a bet on how many of them are mature readers? Now, again, this is not, something with a variant and not trade paperbacks. These are just single issues, not second reprintings.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those 14 issues have a mature reader's tag on them?
I'm going to hold the envelope to my forehead and talk like the great Carsoni. I'm going to say 9.
Very close, 10.
Nice.
Very nice. Marvel Comics next week has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. That's a Civil War 2 tie-in. All-New Wolverine number 12. Amazing Spider-Man number 18, BDNM. Ooh, him and Mary Jane are into the BDNM. Very cool. Civil War 2 number 5.
Now, wait a minute.
Actually, it's probably Gwen Stacy and Spider-Man are into the BDNM. I think that's part of the Clone War thing. That's the Return of the Clone Wars.
Be dead no more.
Yeah, be dead no more. That's what it is. Which is a whole clone thing, which is really cool because if you read that Free Comic Book Day thing, it's got a nice setup. And now we have the series is kicking off, so that'll be fun.
A clone-spiracy.
Yeah, clone-spiracy. Speaking of clone-spiracies, Darth Vader gets issues 20, 21, and 22 all get a second printing ahead of the number 25 issue, which is the final issue of that Darth Vader series.
I find your lack of issue 26 most displeasing.
Interestingly, there is a Doctor Strange omnibus coming out, volume 1, $75. Wonder why they're doing that. Haunted Mansion hardcover, $25 there. Matthew, the reason is because there's a Doctor Strange movie coming out. Are you excited about seeing that?
I kind of am, yeah. The Doctor Strange movie is one of the ones that appeals to me.
Are you going to go see, speaking of movies, are you going to go see Blair Witch this weekend?
Maybe not this weekend, but at some point I'm going to say yes.
Okay. A lot of people are saying it's really, really good. Mighty Thor number 11, Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat number 10. Power Man and Iron Fist number 8, that's a Civil War 2 tie-in. Venom Space Knight number 12. Oh, I cannot wait until... Oh, you know, I had a crazy crossover thought today.
What's that?
So, this takes place on the TV series Enterprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's his name? Tuvok.
Right.
is walking down the hallway, and he goes to knock on the commander's door. And he goes inside, and the commander attacks. Scott Bakula attacks. Right?
Right.
Isn't Tuvok on the Enterprise? I'm pretty sure. Which one was Tuvok?
Was on Voyager.
Oh, Voyager. Okay, so this is Voyager then. Yeah, this makes more sense. He goes in, Janeway attacks him from out of the darkness. He throws her down with one of his Vulcan nerve pinches. And she's been turned into Janeway, Neanderthal. That's it. And he's like, what is going on? And other Earth crew members have also been turned into Neanderthals, except for Chakotay, which there's a different story about that, which would make it a lot more interesting.
Chakotay.
As they're investigating, they find out that a band of Romulans and Klingons have traveled back in time to Earth to stop the evolution of Earthmen. And so in order to stop this, Tuvok and Chakotay must go back. Now, what we find out because of Chakotay's Native American heritage, he's one of the pure people, one of the star peoples. But when they go back in time, you've got Tuvok during the time of the dinosaurs. And the title of this series could be Tuvok, Dinosaur Hunter.
Wow. No,
I think it'd be cool.
No. Send him back to the 90s and have him start a hip hop career and call him Tuvok Shakur.
No, Tuvok, Dinosaur Hunter. It'd be a cool, valiant IDW crossover. Or whoever's got Turok right now. I think maybe
BDW.
Yeah, yeah.
No, wait.
That'd be awesome.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No.
You can.
Okay.
Trust me. And it, I mean, if you can have Green Lanterns and Star Trek crossover, you can have Turok and Star Trek crossover. Tuvok, Dinosaur Hunter. Yes. Punisher 5 comes out next week from Marvel Comics. Vision number 11. Vote Loki number 4. Hey, election day is coming up quickly, everyone. I hope you've picked sides. In all the rest category, we have Archie number 12, Benny and Penny, How to Say Goodbye hardcover.
Penny and the Jets.
Big Trouble in Little China trade paperback. Britannia number 1 comes out next week. Dark Tales from the Vokesverse, number 1.
Der Vokesverse.
I don't know what that is. Let's see. First Love Monster Graphic Novel, Volume 5. Oh, First Love Monster Graphic Novel, Volume 5. I don't think it's like first. I don't think it's First Love Monster.
No, my first love was a monster. She's.
Joiners number 5 of 5 gets a final issue there. We also
That features Jackie Joyner Kersee and Florence Griffith Joyner.
Rick and Morty Little Poopy Superstar number 3. That's from Oni Press. Okay. Rock and Roll Biographies. what is NOFX?
No FX.
What is that?
It was a punk band.
Oh, okay. Well, they're getting a Rock and Roll Biography. My guess is whatever the current Blue Wave or Blue Ocean or whatever that publisher was.
Blue Water Comics.
Blue Water Comics. They've rebranded themselves. And I forget what they're called now. Stormfront or something. They've rebranded themselves like 4 or 5 times.
Stormfront was, I believe, short-lived because of connotations.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what they're called now. Superhuman Resources, number 4. Zombie Tramp Ongoing, number 27. 6 different covers on that one. A Mendoza cover, a Mendoza Risque cover, a Caged Heat cover, a Caged Heat Risque cover, a Chang cover, and a Chang Risque cover.
Chang Risque, I think, is one of my favorite rappers.
Next week on Dueling Review.
Amazing Spider-Man, number 18. Before Dead No More marches you closer to the spider event of 2016. The moment you've been waiting for has come. Doc Ock has been trapped in the body of the living brain since the first issue, but now it's time for him to act.
There are 4 lights.
There are 5,000 amps.
Well, there are 365 days. What's that song that's...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they all sang Grace.
Three is the magic number. Just remember that, ladies and gentlemen. And
right.
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. If you enjoyed this episode, if you got a kick out of it, we would sure appreciate some feedback from you at podcast@majorspoilers.com. But also you can help us and ensure that this show goes on by becoming a patron member at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Covers our growing costs and gives us motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. So until next week, thank you for checking out Dueling Review, and until next time, when you'll hear Matthew say,
I am Gotham. This is my city.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.